To Jesus be the glory and the honor and the praise. And God's people said, Amen. Well, we celebrated Good Friday a few days ago and Resurrection Sunday on this last Sunday. The Eastern churches, I told you, yesterday, will celebrate Easter next week. So, in advance, happy Easter to all of the sweet people in the Greek Orthodox faith and other churches. Listen, I'm going to teach today again on the resurrection because I want to finish this wonderful teaching I began yesterday. You know, Paul the Apostle talks about in 1 Corinthians 15 about the importance of this message. But first, Lord, I pray that you'll bless your people with this word. Let them receive it, be enriched by it, be strengthened by it in Jesus' mighty name. And God's people said, Amen. All right. In 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 3, he says these words, For I delivered unto you first of all, that which also I have received, meaning from the Holy Spirit, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, meaning Old Testament Scriptures, and that he was buried. Now this is very important, because Jesus had to be buried in order to prove to everyone he was truly dead. See? And that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Now, you know, we celebrate Good Friday, but it really doesn't add up to be three full days and three full nights, if you think about it, till Sunday. So, in the Gospel of John, we read that Jesus died on the high Sabbath. At Passover, they have two Sabbaths. The high Sabbath, the regular Sabbath. So, Passover fell on a Wednesday, 2,000 years ago. Whenever Passover falls on a midday, like a Wednesday, which it does, then it's a high Sabbath. And John said it was a high Sabbath. So then, Wednesday, meaning Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. So the Lord now had to be in the grave three full nights and three full days. And then he rose from the dead right after the Sabbath was complete. So now on Sunday morning, early in the morning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and others went to the tomb, if you recall, at sunrise. And he was already raised. We don't know when the Lord rose from the dead, exactly like what hour. All we know is he was in the grave three full days, three full nights. Now, it says, And he was seen of Cephas, meaning Peter, verse 5. Then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, most likely in Galilee, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Now, there was a question in the early church about, will there be a resurrection of the dead, the saints, I mean. So, Paul had to deal with this. And so he says, how say some of you that there is no resurrection? Because if there is no resurrection of the saints, then the Lord himself did not rise from the dead. And if Jesus did not rise from the dead, we of all people are most miserable and our faith is vain and so on. And we will perish in our sins. But Christ is risen from the dead. Therefore, all those who die in Jesus will live again. And I showed you yesterday, even Abraham was looking for the resurrection. Because God told him in Genesis 17 verse 8, I want to give you the land for an everlasting possession. Well, he had to be alive to have that, right? And I'm going to give it to your seed, Christ, for an everlasting possession. Well then, for someone to have the land forever means they have to be alive to receive it forever. So Abraham was looking for his own resurrection, dependent on the Messiah's resurrection. And Jesus said what? Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. Remember that? And I showed you also how Job was looking for his own resurrection. When he said in Job 19:25 through 27, he said, I know that my Redeemer lives. and he will stand on the earth. Well, the very fact he called Jesus my Redeemer means Jesus had to become a man. And since Jesus became a man, he had to die and rise again. Otherwise, he wouldn't say, my Redeemer liveth. And though, he says, my body would turn to dust and worms would eat it, yet in my flesh I want to see God. Speaking of his own resurrection. And there's many scriptures in the Bible, in the Old Covenant, about the resurrection. Isaiah 26:19, thy dead men will arise with my dead body. Hallelujah. And that was fulfilled in Matthew 27:50-53. And do you remember what I showed you from Hosea, which was so powerful? Hosea 13:14, where the Lord said that he will destroy the grave by dying and by being buried in it. Because you see, he destroyed death by death. This is very important. He destroyed death by dying. You know, I've always said, how can the grave hold the one who's holding the grave? Jesus is life. How can death hold life? Impossible. Okay, look at Hosea chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 14. It says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. That happened when Jesus died, because by death he destroyed death. By being buried, he destroyed the grave. Because see, the Lord Jesus is. He said, I am. He said, I am. So think about this. Jesus doesn't have, Jesus is. Jesus doesn't have life, he is life. Jesus doesn't have bread, he is the bread. Jesus doesn't have water, he is the water. And he said, I am, to Mary and Martha. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. So when you are dead, he says, I am the resurrection. When you're hungry, he says, I'm bread. When you're thirsty, he says, I'm water. When you're lost, he says, I'm the way. When you're in darkness, he says, I'm the light of the world. So Jesus doesn't have, Jesus is. The devil has, but Jesus is. See, anyone who says, I have, means someone gave it to him. And if someone gave it to him, it had a beginning. And if it had a beginning, it will have an end. So Satan tells the Lord, all the kingdoms I have, meaning they were given to me by somebody else. Well, like I said, anyone who says, I have, means that he was given it by someone, it had a beginning, and anything that has a beginning has an end. But Jesus doesn't have a beginning, he is the beginning. He is the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end. Hallelujah. So, it's impossible for him to have stayed in that grave. And we all remember what it says in the Psalms, which I shared with you yesterday. So, let's go back to Psalm 16. Oh, this is so beautiful. And verse 8. It says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he's at my right hand, I will not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, my glory. And every time you read the word my glory, it means my soul. Rejoice it. My flesh will also rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. So here the psalmist declares the resurrection of Jesus, that his body cannot see corruption. Because look, his body was the Word of God. How can the Word of God see corruption? I know I'm saying some deep things here. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Well, how can flesh be destroyed if it's the Word of God? Yeah? Okay, you got it. See, your body came out of dust and my body came out of dust. His body is God's Word. The body of Jesus never came out of dust. Because if it came out of dust, it had to go back to it. From dust you are, to dust you'll return. The body of Jesus never came out of dust. It's the Word. And He promised that He would raise us up with Him. Isn't that marvelous? That we will live because He lives. So because He's alive, we shall live too. One of these days, all the saints will arise from the dead. Now, some of them already rose back in Matthew, you know. But let's just now look at Psalm 71. Because you do recall that the old covenant saints rose from the dead with the Lord. Actually, they rose after He rose, because He was the first fruit. So they couldn't have risen with Him. They rose right after He rose. Psalm 71, verse 20, "You have showed me great and sore troubles, but You will quicken me again and will bring me up from the depth of the earth." Resurrection. You will increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Now, Peter was preaching in the book of Acts, and he used that scripture from Psalm 16 when he was preaching the gospel, and he said, "For David speaks concerning Him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for He is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh will rest in hope, because Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with Thy countenance." And then he says, well, this couldn't be David, because David's body did see corruption. Ours, but the Lord never saw corruption. Our bodies will, but His, impossible. And Paul the Apostle gives us something so beautiful, what he says in 1 Corinthians 15 about us, about you and I, that because of the resurrection of the Lord, we will also be raised from the dead. In verse 21 through 23, he says, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So, death came because of Adam's fall. Resurrection will come because of the Lord's victory over sin and death. But it says, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after they that are Christ's at His coming." So we are looking forward for that day when the dead will rise, the dead in Christ will rise from the dead, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up with them in the clouds. In John 14, verse 19, the Lord Jesus said, "Because I live, you will live." Now, I'm going to show you something really beautiful. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 5, first of all, and verse 25. And sometimes people mess these up a little bit because they don't realize when the Lord is talking about our new birth and when He's talking about our physical resurrection. New birth is verse 25. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead," meaning dead spiritually, "shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." They that hear, you have to hear to live. Now that is new birth. This has nothing to do with the resurrection physically. The resurrection physically is mentioned in verse 28 and 29. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves," now the Lord specifies, bodies in the grave. In verse 25, He didn't say the grave. Now He talks about the grave, "shall hear His voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation." So if you look at both verses, in verse 25, the hour is coming, now is, so it's already there, when the dead spiritually will hear his voice and they will live, born again. Verse 28, the hour is coming, they who are in the graves will hear his voice. And then those who have done good, resurrection of life. Those who have done evil, resurrection of damnation. So, the first truth is about spiritual resurrection. The second truth is about physical resurrection. And that's what you and I wait for. Now, it goes hand in hand with Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and also Ephesians 5:14. In Ephesians 2:1 it says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." This is new birth, spiritual birth. But then when you look at Ephesians 5, and you look at verse 14, it says, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." That has to do with the physical resurrection. So, dear sweet people of God, the resurrection of the saints is a must. Because how are we going to be able to fulfill this scripture unless we will be raised? Listen to this. Zechariah 14, verse 5. "And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal." This is about the second coming of the Lord, how the land will be rearranged. "Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee." And the word "thee," by the way, is "him" in Hebrew. All the saints with him. Jude 14 talks about the saints coming with the Lord. And so, how can the saints come back with the Lord unless they are resurrected and have to come with him from heaven? From heaven. That talks about rapture. That talks about the great catching up. Otherwise, how can they come back with him? How did they get there to come back with him? They arose from the dead. And that happens when the Lord Jesus returns in what we call the rapture of the church, or the great catching up of the church. So, that day is almost upon us. And I want to talk to you, you that have loved ones. Now stay with me now, I'm not done. You that have loved ones who are gone. They're not dead. They're not dead at all. Your mom, dad, a dear man yesterday from Iceland, his son passed. And I sent him an email to strengthen him. And he said, "I know my son is with Jesus." But it's always good to remind people, they're not dead. The body, there's no longer use for it. Like Paul said, you know, I'm going to put off this tabernacle. I'm going to put off this tent. Your body is nothing but a tent. Your earth suit. Your earth suit. Well, one day is going to come, you won't need your earth suit because you're going to have a heavenly suit. And Billy Graham said, he said, "Don't tell people I died, just simply say I changed my address." I love that. So when it comes to us believers, there's no such thing as death. Jesus did not even recognize it when Lazarus had died. He said, "He's sleeping." And so, well, he was sleeping, you know, he's going to wake up. And the Lord then had to say, well, no, he's dead. But the Lord himself would not admit or recognize that death is a reality. He said he's sleeping. So we shall not all sleep, Paul says in Corinthians. We shall not all sleep. A little boy passed. The father was a sinner. The mother was a Christian. They went to the funeral home. They looked at the little casket with the little boy in it. And the dad came over and kissed the forehead of his little son and said, "Goodbye, son, goodbye forever." And the mom, who was a believer, came over and kissed his forehead and said, "I'll see you in the morning, baby. I'll see you in the morning." That's the difference because of our faith. Your mom, your dad are not dead because the Bible makes it very clear. They are in the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So be at peace. You'll see him again. Oh, yes, you will. And you can have lunches and dinners with them and walk the most beautiful gardens of heaven with them. So rejoice. This is not something we sorrow for over, because Paul said that he sorrow not, and I feel I need to say that somebody needs this, that he sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them, they will also come with him, our loved ones. And you're going to meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord and with them. Now, Lord, strengthen everyone, I pray. Bless everyone, I pray. Meet the need in that life in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, now I ask you to bless them financially. Bless them and prosper the work of their hands. I pray everything they touch will prosper and increase greatly. Greatly, Lord, greatly. Let 2021 be the best year they've had in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now you can give to the Lord's work. You know what to do. Right there it says, donate on the platform you're watching me on. And if it doesn't, just go to benihin.org or simply text it. BHM 45777. BHM 45777. The Lord loves you. I'm looking forward to tomorrow with you. I'll have a whole different teaching that you're going to love. All right. A blessed day today. Shalom.